chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. Now News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Side Dish, hosted by Deborah Miller. Tune in for 30 minutes of tasty talk with culinary aficionados, wine connoisseurs, and more. Side Dish is locally produced by News Talk 1360 WCHL. Now let's get to the tasty talk with Deborah Miller.
Welcome to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller, and I have lured from the wilds of Saxapahaw Suzanne Nelson from Cozy Farm. And for those of you, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
For those of you who know me and have read my blog, Simmer to Sizzle, you know my love affair with Saxapahaw. And when I go out there, I just want to move. I want to live there. I don't ever want to go anywhere else. And I want to live in one of those lofts right next to the Haw River Ballroom and eat every day at the Saxapahaw General Store. And you are a big integral part of that whole community.
I feel the same way about the place. It's very difficult to even get me into Chapel Hill.
Well, thank you for coming in.
Well, thanks. And I do eat at the General Store almost every day. Thank you. It's really wonderful to be here and to talk about our little village and how our farm is a part of that.
Well, there's a couple things we're going to kind of jump around a little bit, because one of the things I really want us to focus on getting the word out about is an event that's coming up on December 8th. Which is this your event, or is it
I was the one that saw the film in Virginia and met the filmmaker and wanted to bring it to Saxapahaw. The film is called American Meat. It's a documentary about where we've been and where we're going in the American livestock, the business of eating animals and what that means. It's a very, very enjoyable film to watch. It's a difficult subject, and Graham Merriweather, the director, doesn't gloss over that. But it's also a very watchable film. It's not something that you're going to want to avert your eyes. In fact, many parts of the film are very, very beautiful. And I saw the film and when it premiered this summer in Stanton, Virginia. And it was there because that's where Polyface Farms is. And Joel Salatin and Polyface Farms feature prominently in the film. And that's their annual, every 3 years they hold a field day. And the film premiered the same day that they held this field day. And I was just really taken by it and the thoughtfulness and really the journalistic discipline that it took to put together a film like this. Because Graham obviously has strong feelings, as do I, about how animals should be raised and how they shouldn't be treated. Yet he let the film tell its own story, and the people in the film tell their own stories, and brings it down to a very human level. And one of the things that I think is most remarkable about it, and one of the things I'm most excited about the screening, is some of the folks that are in the film, including Johnny Glosson, who's a confinement poultry producer right here in Pittsburgh. He's coming to the film, and he's going to be on the panel afterwards. And so we're going to have a real conversation, and that's what the film encourages. And I'm excited to be part of that.
Well, so let's talk a little more specifics. It is December 8th, and there's something before the screening.
We're calling it a little local foods feast. So we're going to serve our chicken and our pork, as well as some of the vegetables from the Saxapahaw General Store's very own garden, which is in collaboration with one of the wonderful people who work with us at Cozy Farm. A woman named Liz Clore runs that garden, and she also has her own starting farm in Saxapahaw called Bushytail Farm. So she's going to provide the vegetables, and we're going to provide the chicken and the pork. And we're going to eat before we...
And that people can buy tickets to that?
Yes. On the Haw River Ballroom's website, there's a way to buy a ticket just for the film, which is $10, or the film and the movie to get the film and the feast together, which is $25. And that component starts at 6:30, and the film starts at 7:30.
Oh, how exciting.
And then afterwards, we'll have the panel discussion that I talked about. So we have...
Are you on the panel?
Yes.
All right.
Along with Jeff Barney of the Saxapahaw General Store and a few other producers, and Johnny Glosson, like I mentioned, and so we'll take questions, and the director will also be there, Graham Merriweather.
All right, that's Thursday night, December 8th. So it is that actually this week.
Yes.
So go to the Hall River Ballroom site, buy your tickets. And if you guys have not been out, haven't made that nice little drive in the country out to Saxapahaw, you need to, because it's unlike, you know, I don't even know what to say. I think one of the things that I find so intriguing, the Saxapahaw General Store, the food is fabulous. I've been lucky enough to have lunch there. Well, every time I go, why not have lunch there? The duck confit salad is wonderful. Is that your duck?
And it's not. But they do some wonderful things with duck fat. I love the duck fat fries.
You know, what is not to love? But right there in the case, I mean, I have sort of said laughingly, it is the only place I have ever been where you have anchovy paste and Italian tomato paste right next to the beanie weenies and the Vienna sausage. You are not going to find that many places.
Jeff and Cameron have done a really marvelous job of making the store serve the community. And that means that there's provisions that people go there to get, but also making it a local foods mecca. There are things at the Saxapahaw General Store that you can't get other places.
Like your meat.
That's right, in terms of retail, and we retail it off the farm as well. The organic chicken feed that we feed our own hens is available there. You know, I always joke with people that it's one of the only places you could eat wild salmon perfectly prepared next to the diesel fuel additives. You know, there's definitely...
Isn't that funny? And what's their tagline? Your five-star...
Your local five-star gas station.
That's it. Yeah, I think I have really enjoyed the atmosphere there. There's a town community feel to it. You're sitting next to the good old boy, and then you're sitting next to somebody in a business suit that drove out for whatever reason. I don't know. How long have you lived out there?
We've lived there since before the Saxapahaw General Store was in its current incarnation. We've been in Saxapahaw since 2007. And so I remember when the store first opened, and one of the only things they had was hamburgers. And I used to eat two of those hamburgers at least every single day, and kind of got a reputation for always ordering two because I was pregnant at the time. And it's just been a wonderful thing for our farm to grow at the same time that the store has grown. And we've grown together in a lot of ways and do a lot of really neat things together. We pick up all of the food scraps every day, mm-hmm. and that are both from the line as well as food scraped off people's plates, and compost them or feed them to hogs. And that is a wonderful tale of recycling. We have a real energy problem in this country, but a lot of it is just because we're wasting it. There's no food scrap that ever belongs in a landfill. And we can close that food loop, and we do, and then we take the compost and then use it to grow vegetables.
Well, we're going to have to go to break. Before we go, is there a website that people can go and get more information about Cozy Farm?
CozyFarms.com, CozyFarms.com.
And when we come back, we're going to go backwards, and I'm going to find out how you got from where you started to here. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller, and I have around my table today Suzanne Nelson from Cozy Farm. And you're not quite in Saxapahaw. What's your physical address?
Our home farm is closer to Highway 54, so we technically have two farms. We have our original 10-acre homestead just up the road from Saxapahaw, and then our larger 50 acres, which we lease from the Jordan family, across the street from the Saxapahaw General Store.
So it is a Saxapahaw address.
The second farm is.
Yes. Well, so you're obviously not from around these parts.
No, I was born and raised in Chicago. I went to school at Washington University in St. Louis. I spent 8 years in D.C., a year in New Orleans, and then here.
And it's sort of you divided between the middle and here you are. Well, between D.C. and New Orleans.
This was a very strategic climate compromise between my Cajun husband and my northern self. This was about as far south as I could handle, and this was about as far north as he could handle, and so that's part of the reason why we ended up here.
Well, y'all were United States opposite.
Well, we met in St. Louis, which, you know, the whole meet me in St. Louis.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and we spent a number of years in D.C.
Well, so you had mentioned earlier that your regular background was you were a reporter. What was your beat?
I worked on Capitol Hill for an organization called Roll Call. It's a subsidiary of The Economist, and I wrote about money and politics and how the congressional branch of government interacts with the judicial branch and the executive branch. It sounds very boring, but it was a really interesting education, and I got to write a lot of neat stories and meet a lot of really neat people.
So you sort of went from one group of animals to another.
I suppose. One food fight to another.
All right. So, that's a really good question. How did that segue happen?
Well, I was living in D.C. I loved my life. I loved my job. I loved what I did. And in the same period, a period of about 18 months, both my then puppy and my now husband both got sick. And the part of investigating why they got sick and how to help them get well led me down the road of food and what's in it. It all, honestly, for me, started with what was in dog food. And then when I started feeding my dog better, I looked and thought, well, if my dog shouldn't be eating processed food, then I probably shouldn't either. And I had always thought that I ate pretty well. I ate broccoli when I was in high school. You know, I ate pretty well by, I guess, American standards. I look now back at what I used to eat and I'm appalled. But it's one thing led to another, and the more I learned, the more I couldn't turn away. And knowing how food can be not only nourishing but truly medicinal, and wanting to eat food that was that way, eventually, through a very long, windy road, led my husband Corey and I to buy a property outside of Chapel Hill. And we had no intention of ever raising livestock necessarily, certainly not raising livestock and selling things to others. It was a few years before we even got some chickens. But again, this journey about food, the more I learned, the more I didn't feel like what I wanted to eat was available to buy. And so I thought I was going to produce it. And so it really started for me with two things. I wanted milk from my very own cow. I wanted it unpasteurized, unhomogenized, unamalgamated. I mean, if you want an education, find out what's permissible in the processing of milk without mm-hmm. putting anything on the label. And whole milk isn't whole, for one thing. And then I wanted to eat eggs from hens that spent their life on pasture, eating bugs, eating grass. But I also wanted them to eat organic. I wanted what was in their feed troughs to be organic. I didn't want it to be genetically modified. I didn't want it to be, you know, reconstituted, amalgamated, extruded, genetically modified corn and soy. I wanted them to eat real food. Mm-hmm. And the journey to find that feed was a lot of how our farm got to be where it is today.
So now you have someone make your feed, right?
Yeah, so a wonderful family in Elon, George Teague and his family at Reedy Fork Farm. And that all started by happenstance, mostly because George and I are both talkers. So I had my dairy cow now, and
just one.
Uh-huh. And I wanted to get her a specific kind of salt. And he was a distributor for a company called Redmond, and they make real sea salts. And I wanted this one that had extra trace minerals in it for my cow. And so I went all the way to Elon to get this one bag of salt. And he and I got to talking, and he found out that I was grinding feed for my dozen or so chickens in my home flour mill, because the closest feed I could get that was organic was from Virginia. So I'd just been sourcing all the ingredients locally. I mean, I was buying them at the local co-op and wherever I could get mm-hmm. them.
And then milling them yourself.
Yes, and it was incredibly labor-intensive, and the cost of the ingredients was astronomical. I mean, I don't even want to know what I paid per pound for that feed. But I was only feeding a few hens, and they were just for me, and I wanted them to eat real food. And George said, well, this is crazy. I have a mill. Then it was a very small, what's known in farming as a PTO, a power takeoff. I mean, it used the engine of a tractor. It didn't have its own motor. And he said, if you Tell me what you want in it. I'll mix it up for you. He said, I really have been wanting to get in the organic feed business. And I said, okay. And so in the early days, how this all worked was I would pre-mix the supplements for the feed in my driveway. The recipes were mine that I got from friends in other parts of the country who were doing something similar. They were very crude, but they worked. And I would mix the minerals and the probiotics and the salt and the kelp and all the extra goodies that come in very small amounts. I would mix them in a bucket in my driveway. And he would grind and mix the grains. And I would come up with my big Rubbermaid tote and we would dump it in his mixer and he would mix it again. And then he would turn on the chute and the feed would come out. And there was no way of turning it off easily. So we just would put a bag under the chute as fast as we could and feed would go everywhere. And it was incredibly inefficient. And in the time that I've been working with George, he got a few grants and now has a $250,000 feed mill, which is in the feed mill world is not a big amount of money, but they produce a lot of feed and they're a regional feed distributor in the Southeast. And so we get our feed milled by them now when it comes in big, you know, 1,000-pound, 2,000-pound totes. It's a considerably different scale than when we started. But the idea of the ingredients being whole food was and is and remains very important to me. It's just whole food that's ground up.
Well, is he selling it to other people other than you? Is he making it for other people other than you?
Yes. People all over the Southeast get food from him. But regionally, in our area, the feed is available at the Saxbaugh General Store. I used to retail it out of my garage.
It's just really
a community service. I didn't make enough money to justify the hassle factor. It was a huge hassle to sell. I'm not in the retail feed business, but I wanted to make it available for people.
Well, we have to run a break. Before we go, one more reminder about the film screening of American Meat, Thursday, December 8th at 7:30. Go to Hall River Ballroom website to find out more information. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I am around the table today with Suzanne Nelson from Cozy Farm out in Saxapaha. So you got a cow. Does the cow have a name?
My original cow's name is Greeley, and I still have her.
Greeley?
Greeley.
Greeley. And does that mean anything?
She was named that at Chapel Hill Creamery, and when I got her, my brother, who lived in Colorado at the time, told me it was rather ironic that her name was Greeley because Greeley, Colorado is known as one of the places in the United States has the most confined animal feeding operations. So this is a place where cows are living in constant misery. And here I have this cow.
Named it Greeley.
And I feel like her name is a little prayer for all the cows that don't get to live on grass and have a normal life.
So tell me her path.
So how she got me where we are?
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to figure out how to best care for her, and I learned about how cows or herbivores move in nature, and they move to fresh grass, and they leave their own excrement behind them and the flies behind them, and they constantly move. And so I started moving this cow around my little yard with a couple goats and a couple sheep. And the process really fell in love with the idea that agriculture could be a regenerative rather than an extractive process, that we could actually glean food from this land at the same time, making it better. Every year there's more earthworms. Every year there's more soil. We're literally building soil. Every year there's more fertility. Every year there's more health. And in the process, we're eating better and better, and these animals are living well. And that notion really captivated my life. And that's how farming really became a vocation for me, was that very concept.
So do you remember when that happened, when you all of a sudden said, oh, this is my life now. This is my other life is gone. This is my new life.
I heard once that some people always think at some level that what they're doing is a fraud. I still feel that way in some ways. I still feel like I'm trying on this outfit. But at the same time, it feels like this, all of the education, everything that I went to in my life prepared me to do this because it takes every ounce of pretty much everything I have every day to make the farm work and still be a decent mother and a decent wife and have some sort of semblance of sanity. And so in some ways it feels like this is the natural
progression.
Yes.
So do you cook every night?
No, that's the sad thing.
Aww.
Is that I did all this so that I could have all this food, and then we collapse at 9:30. And so that's where the General Store and the Eddie Pub more recently have really been a part of who our farm is because they fed the farmer.
But aren't they serving? Don't they cook some of your meats? And
oh, absolutely.
So
and that's one of the
sort of
that's one of the really satisfying things is to go down and have my own chicken and our own pork and our own beef.
And how many kids do you have?
I have one, Vivian. She's three.
She's three. And does she, what are her eating habits?
She eats better than any person I know. And she really has a taste. I mean, she requests greens. She grew up eating greens that were cooked in bacon grease and really good bacon grease. And so she thinks that greens are outstanding and she will seek them out.
And she's got a thing for bacon. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming and talking with me. I really appreciate it, making the trip in. And before we go, website address for the Hall River Ballroom is hallriverballroom.com. You can go online there and get tickets for the film screening of American Meat, which is next Thursday the 8th this Thursday the 8th at 7:30. You can buy tickets for that. You can add the dinner.
Right, which starts at 6:30.
An additional $25, or
no, total.
Okay, and you will see and meet Suzanne and all of her cohorts out there. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having us.
You've been listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.